Number 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, healthy. Now, how many of these goals does it sound like they've already been accomplished? Number 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Hey, when I debate their philosophers, and when many Christian scholars debate their philosophers in public, they don't do real good. So how come we're the non-intellectuals and they're the intellectuals? If they're the intellectuals, why can't they win a debate? I've yet to see one win, even on the existence of God, I've yet to see one leading atheist win a major debate against a leading Christian scholar. 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. They accomplished that in 1963, and we went down the tubes. We've been going down the tubes ever since. 29, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. That Constitution is what protects your freedoms right now. Number 30, discredit the American Founding Fathers. We've all heard George Washington died of BD. There is no evidence for it. There is no historical evidence whatsoever. 31, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history. 32, support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture. Education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. Right now, where's the biggest percentage that's going to be taking control of, more control given to the government? Is the health industry. They're going to have health police. If you don't go to their doctors, you're going to be guilty of a felony. 35, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. 36, infiltrate and gain control of more unions. The unions have been talking socialistic talk for years, but then 37 says infiltrate and gain control of big business. Now we got big business voting in liberal leaders who then turn around and destroy business. But they've been brainwashed into the communist way of thinking. 38, transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Anybody ever hear of Child Protective Services? There is some good that they've done when they save a kid's life or and all, but right now they pretty much what the line is, they own your children. Your children are on loan to you. The state owns your children. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. Tom Thompson will tell you about that. That's going on. No such thing as sin anymore. No such thing as sin. It's always because somebody, you're a victim. Somebody hurt you when you were little. Somebody else's fault. It's never your fault. And that's why we, quote-unquote, rehabilitate these prisoners, and 2 years later we set them free, and lo and behold, they do the same thing they did when they went in. Number 39, dominate the psychiatric profession. Number 40, by the way, this has crept into the church as well. Now we got Christian psychologists who don't want to, you don't tell someone they're a sinner. How can you give somebody the good news, the gospel, if you don't first tell them you're a sinner who's going to hell if you don't trust in Jesus for salvation? That's why he died on the cross for your sins. You've got to tell people they're sinners. Because you've got to show them they need to be saved before you can tell them Jesus is the Savior. Discredit the family as an institution and encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Right now, one of every two marriages in this country ends in divorce. Number 41, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. That's going on. That is definitely going on. Number 42, create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, such as the LA riots. I saw a lady with a PhD that was being interviewed on CNN after 11 people have been killed now. Later on, over 100 got killed. But after 11 had got killed, they said, "What do you say about these acts?" She says, "I don't condone them, nor do I condemn them." If you can't condemn the killing, the butchering of 11 innocent people, hey, they didn't like the decision, the decision in the Rodney King case. There's been plenty of decisions by courts that I don't like. That doesn't give me the right to go out and kill 11 or 100 innocent people. And if you can't condemn that, you are not a teacher of morality, you're a teacher of immorality. Now, just because we give somebody a PhD, all of a sudden we give them the right to say, yeah, the killing of innocent people is not really wrong in this case. The killing of innocent people is always wrong. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And then finally, number 45, give the world court jurisdiction over nations and individuals alike. We're doing that with the United Nations. There's a lot of people in power in this country that want to get us away from our Constitution to go towards a one-world government. Hey, if God liked one-world governments, God does like one-world government, but only ruled by Jesus when he returns. Until then, he wants the nations separate, and he wants limited powers given to those governments. If God wanted a one-world government, why in the world did he confuse the languages at the Tower of Babel? And so, what is the current situation in America? What we defended in war, our freedoms, we are losing and giving away in peacetime. What should our response be? And this is what I'm going to close with, a couple more passages to look at. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 to 4, and this is what Paul tells to Timothy. Now Paul, one preacher, is talking to Timothy, another preacher, so this is politically incorrect. You're not supposed to give, everybody's got the freedom of speech, even in political matters, except when it comes to Christian leaders. That's what people will tell you today. That is wrong. If the godly have no say in the government, then you're automatically going to be at the mercy of the ungodly. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're supposed to pray for all men, including and sometimes especially our leaders. We got some leaders right now that I'm having a hard time respecting, but I need to pray for them. And believe me, they need prayer. They need prayer big time. And if their hearts aren't changed, we're going to be the ones who are going to suffer for it. Pray for our leaders. That's number one. Number two, look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You've heard it before, you're going to hear it again. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Billy Graham said that if God doesn't judge America, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. We better be on our knees and praying for this country. Second Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. Here, God, the Word of God is speaking about the nation of Israel, but it will apply to a nation like America that founded its country on biblical principles as well. It says, "And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." We need to pray for our land. We need to pray for revival in our land. Just as Gordon Clark said, if people don't start basing their lives on the Bible, our government is going to cave in and we're going to end up with a communistic society. James, one more passage. James chapter 2, verse 26. James chapter 2 and verse 26. And James says this, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." In other words, you got to do more than pray. You got to do more than believe. But there comes a time when God calls His people to act. There comes a time when God calls His people to turn their television sets off and do praying. Do some prayer. Read the Word. But there even comes a time when God calls you to put the Bible down and cease from your praying, to get outside and to do something and to transform the society in which you live. Lead people to Christ. Encourage others to live godly lives. Exercise your right to vote. Back candidates who agree with our founding fathers and take a biblical stance on the issues. So pray for our leaders, pray for our land, stand up for what is right. And number four, never forget those who died to keep us free. You know what it took to give us the freedom, to keep that freedom that we have to come and worship Jesus today? It took a lot of blood. A lot of blood from some guys 17, 18, 19 years old. And blood turned the waters of Tara, United States Marine Corps blood. Turn the waters of Tara, the ocean shores there, turned them red with the blood of our young men. All four branches of the service have shed blood to keep you and I free. And what do? We live in a country that what we defended in war, we're just giving away in peacetime. Number four, never forget those who died to keep us free. And then finally, number five, pray that our leaders will not allow those guys to die in vain. If we give away this freedom, then all the blood that was spilled by men who fought to keep us free, it was shed in vain. And I pray to the Lord God Almighty that day doesn't come, that we remain a free nation. Too much blood. That's why people don't want people to be allowed to burn the United States flag. Not because the cloth is sacred, but because of what it represents. The United States flag represents freedom, and it represents and symbolizes everyone who shed his blood to keep us free. So what should our response be? Number one, pray for our leaders. Number two, pray for our land and for revival. Number three, stand up for what is right. Do something. Talk to people on the work site. Get them to see the error of our ways. Number four, never forget those who died to keep us free. And number five, pray that our leaders will not allow them to have died in vain. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we just thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you've given us, including the blessing to allow us to live and to grow up and to work in a free nation. And Lord, we thank you for the many courageous men. Some of them were believers and many of them were not believers. But for the many men who were willing to go to faraway lands and to shed their blood, to give up some of their freedoms, to shed their blood just to keep us free. We thank you, Lord, for all these men that have gone by and took a stand to defend our freedom. But Lord, even more than that, each and every day of our lives, I pray even more than we remember these heroes who died to keep America free, that we would remember the worthy Lamb of God who shed His blood on the cross to truly set us free from the lake of fire, the flames of hell, which we deserve. And so Lord, I pray that each and every person here not take for granted the freedom they have in this country, but they would also recognize that there is a greater freedom that they need. I pray that if there's anyone here who's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that they would say these words after me. And for those of us who already believe, that we would also say these words just to recommit our lives to your Son Jesus and reconfirm the fact that we do already believe. Lord, I know that I am a sinner.
Lord, I know that I am a sinner.
And that I cannot save myself.
I cannot save myself.
But I know that your Son Jesus became a man and
died on the cross for my sins.
I ask Jesus to save me and to forgive me and to lead me in ways of righteousness. In Jesus' name.